Hello and welcome to this programme, which is called Shack Lair. I'm Marilyn Crellin.
And I'm Bob Carswell. She Robert Akash Lach Mish.
Ach Mish Marilyn Crellin, Fal Cherry U do Shack Lair. So Claire and Shack and Shaw, in the programme this week, there are two concerts featuring music for the piano coming up, one in Port Erin and the other in Ramsey. While we're in Ramsey, we can volunteer to help out at Milntown.
There are two annual general meetings coming up, one in Onchan and one in Peel.
And between those two places, it's time for a pantomime in Maroun.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
Lichten teuch de Royal, for the chine egge fianna, ach son chigris lesche fianna, na piano forte. As an enem shen, chitwash corkujach foglen sinny delish, son cune as ledger. An act for the cochlein a sheenan, lurish bulen a mern piano, lesh cochlein yard. Ta orden bulen a strengen, as esh tujum nusrish chilirach, gin ginu dung. On stre Mozart as Beethoven, famush hach mern jeg as died piano. Sling Shaw to care feed Mare's hach on.
The pianoforte, a musical instrument which was capable of playing soft and loud, was invented about 1700 by Bartolomeo Cristofori of Padua. At the Erin Arts Centre tomorrow evening, Friday the 15th of February, the duo Bizarre from Belgium, who have great fun for themselves and for the audience, performing for four hands on one piano. That Duo Bizarre concert is at the Erin Arts Centre at 7:30 tomorrow evening. Tickets are £15, but it's only £2 for under 18s. And there's more piano music at the Ramsey Music Society on Monday evening, the 18th of February, in the Ramsey Grammar School West Building at 7:30 with Russian pianist Yulia Chaplina, a winner of many international prizes and now based in London. Admission for non-members is £12 for Russian pianist Yulia Chaplina on Monday evening in Ramsey. And Stared Halloo in Milntown, Cruet de Morcha sa Cheyuki Jeg, Tre Huggen Brood, You and Christine, Stared Unt Glion Alden Rachelia, Rishverelia, Nesnierda Dan Shan William, as Hugge and Enem, Milltown, Erich Ledden Stared. Erst Weak instead of a Mush Queg Heed Acre. Van Lucht Tai Christine Cummelunt's Milltown, Rish Mush Care Heed Blina. Lurg Bersilian Bell Christine, Uns Hawk Heed Jeg Care Feed a Shea, Van Luchtai Brishtach, as Henk instead of a Lesh Kolucht Ursacht. Rauen Luchtai in Tai Emel Vian Kolucht, as Van Makek Ilian Bell Christine, Edded, Na Altus Jerry Jane Luchtai, de Heaven Bersun Shen, uns Neuki Jeg as Queg Jeg. Hrek in Kolucht Ursacht and Hoot Smoojay in Tali where Kronk Skianach, son Club Golf Rums Air, as Skull Grammar Rums Air. Nish hanelak mush quege he jeg jay talu kianlut rish Milntown.
After something like a 400 and more year association with the Christian family, from the 1400s to the 1800s, the extensive Milntown estate went out of the hands of the family, and the majority of the land was sold off. But it left the fine house and its immediate grounds.
John Bryn Edwards had been a successful entrepreneur in the tin plating industry in Swansea, Tinopolis as it's known, and was created Baron Edwards of Treforys. He died in 1922. In 1963, his widow, Lady Kathleen Edwards, bought the Milntown estate. Their son, the engineer Clive Edwards, had inherited the baronetcy at the age of just six on his father's death in 1922. He enjoyed racing cars at Brooklands and vintage rallies. Sir Clive Edwards inherited the Milntown estate from his mother, lived there, and with his friend Bob Thomas, inaugurated the fine collection of vintage motor cars and motorcycles that can still be seen there. Sir Clive established the Milntown Trust so that on his death in 1999, the estate could be properly managed for the benefit of the people of the Isle of Man. And this coming Sunday afternoon, the 17th of February, there's an opportunity to become involved as a volunteer in the maintenance of Milltown.
I visited Milltown yesterday, where Janine Whiteway and Scarlett Bloom were on hand to tell me about the estate and the range of work that goes into its upkeep.
My name's Janine Whiteway and I'm the business manager at Milltown, and I see it that we need new volunteers, so we're planning an open day this Sunday, hoping for as many people to come along as possible.
What is it about the estate that requires the volunteer help then?
Well, we have a lovely team of staff here at the moment, but with a very large estate, 15 acres, very grand house, vehicles and everything else to look after. We do find that time is of the essence, just the upkeep of the property. So we are looking for people who can come along so we can open the house up. We're looking for guides and ushers. Nobody needs full experience, they'll be trained up. Charles Gard, one of our trustees here, has put together a fantastic script. So you'll be able to follow guidelines. And once you're confident, we can set you loose in the house. We're also looking for volunteers for the upkeep of the vehicles. So we've got a very rare collection of vintage motorcycles and cars, which have been left to the trust by Sir Clive Edwards and Bob Thomas. We've already got four or five very, very good volunteers who help us out there. But obviously, the more the merrier. Really good fun.
My name's Scarlett and I'm the Events and Marketing Administrator.
And you've got an event this coming Sunday.
Yes, the Volunteers Open Day. And we already have a fantastic team of volunteers that we work with very closely. They've been with us since the estate became public to everybody, but we're always looking for more people and it's a fantastic opportunity. So just for the volunteers, well, if you'd like to volunteer, just to come along and speak to us and existing volunteers, just about the roles we have available, the benefits that they will get from it. So it's on this Sunday, 3 till 4:30.
So it's quite a wide range of things that people can get involved in.
Yeah, I mean, there's many areas. We've got the volunteering for house guides and ushers, as I just mentioned. We've got a great gardening team, but you know what it's like trying to keep on top of a garden from weeding to deadheading.
No, I let my wife do that.
Oh, even house restorers. So we've got lots of items which we're still going through in our archiving, which does need maintenance, restoring, polishing, logging. That's just one area there. Fundraisers to help us out with all our events that are planned throughout the year, whether you want to be a steward or got really creative, great ideas. Administrators, and of course I've said the vehicle enthusiasts as well, so there's plenty going on here for as many volunteers as can come along on the day and share Milltown with us.
Janine Whiteway and Scarlett Bloom, who were my hosts at Milltown yesterday afternoon.
That volunteer open day at Milltown is from 3 o'clock to 4:30 this coming Sunday, the 17th of February. Selene Tondieu, Traitor Sly Feathern Mach Fissery En in Gelvain Shulach, Tad a Firniach, Ne Choerida Niatl, for the Adgimica Magiat Meru, for the Devel and I, the whole Stjak Hunts Club Ne Sheshach, Fo Bagatus. Ne Yai, Matashine Re, Imidi Kiatin on Shachle, Taman and Cronel, son an act a Sly Goylan on Cushion, uns in the Jade, your sigh is Jeehan Ne Geistjach. As Machen to Sly Chit Rachelius on Cackle and O. As the Kunalesh Cushion Roy de Ray, to Sly on to Ginu Bing, the Higricha de Vel Ruthen Raker Egatre Cui, as Unsenak Kiat. Machen de Yinu Shaw, the Cajun to Care Currit de Alter and Jay Shesha, the Rai Sly de Hulina and Pert Shaw, as Tajinu Shen, Uns Chaglum Cajun Blenol. On Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, the Isle of Man Poetry Society will be holding its annual general meeting in the meeting room of the Archibald Knox pub in Onchan. However, as usual, it's also the monthly poetry pop-in, with an opportunity to share either your own poetry with others or perhaps a piece by someone else that you've come across and particularly like and would like to share. That's 7 p.m. on Sunday the 17th of February in the Archibald Knox. And there's another AGM, this time of the Peel Heritage Trust.
I met up with the current chairman of Peel Heritage Trust, John Slater, and we were joined by the Trust's first secretary, Sam Knight.
We were founded 30 years ago, so this is quite a special year for us. What surprises me even more is that I've been on the committee for 25 years and I'm still here and still vertical. September 1989, Malcolm Kelly, the commissioners, made the suggestion that it would be a good idea to set up a heritage trust, Peel being such an important place, this ancient city. Then it was untouched by development. We're sort of fighting back the tide now, but still we've managed to maintain the core. And we still have co-opted members. We have the chairman of the commissioners and one other representative and our MHK. And by chance, we've got an MOC as well, because Tim Crookle became MOC when he finished being our MHK. We've got Ray Harmer as well. They're not voting members, but they're jolly useful people. And we're very privileged from that respect. And somehow or another, as chairman, I attempt to keep the thing running. And we've never come to fisticuffs yet.
As chairman of the trust, then, how is the trust organised?
We have annual elections, but each member of the committee serves for a limited period of 3 years, and then they come up for re-election and may be replaced. And the chairman is appointed for 1 year only, with the option of a second year, and then that's it, they're kicked out. And this ensures that you don't get one person running the whole thing and keeping it in a particular style and manner, and everybody else feels excluded, because that can, I think, be very damaging, and it keeps the thing frothing and bubbling. The fact that I've had about five or six sessions of this over the years is neither here nor there. I don't know why they keep picking on me. I even tried to retire on one occasion, and I didn't stand for re-election for the committee. And a few days later, there was a knock on the door, and one of the committee was there. "Where are you?" I said, "How do you mean, where am I?" "We've got a meeting tonight." "Have you?" I said, "I'm not on anymore." "Yes, you are. We've just co-opted you. Hurry up, get your coat." And so that was that. And so I've decided, well, I may as well keep going as long as I can. While I can, I will. We've had a tremendous range of events. Each month, talk, Nocalo. We do a lot of work with them. It's this developing centre. They've got their interpretation centre. More and more people coming from all over the place. So many attractions here. Peel Secret Gardens, of course, is an event we do once every 2 years. We have many hundreds of visitors come. They're not all intensely keen gardeners, of course. Lots of them like to have a good skeet, and why not? And we've had a lot of railway events. Sam Knight, of course, one of our illustrious founder members, he is much involved with the Manx Transport Heritage Museum. And I was there almost from the start of that, and so that's another interest of mine. Survey by satellite, people digging up the ground, history under your feet, so we've got detectorists, anything you're interested in. It's extraordinary how much there's in Peel. We publish a lot of books, and I hope, hopefully many of you have them. Our most ambitious one was Peel, A Slice of Time, a big hardback book, and it was, I thought, rather expensive, but it's just about sold out. I believe there's about four copies left, and so you have to fight for that or go around the second-hand shops. And then we've got books on poetry, we've got guidebooks around Peel, we've got a very interesting one called Melbourne Bound, about the ships that were built just at the bottom of my garden here, the bottom of Patrick Street, actually down on what is now the Mill Road. They sailed to Australia. One even came back and got some more immigrants, and off they went. And they had a marvellous time there. And so you wouldn't think it was possible, really, from such a small place. People teach themselves navigation and maths and English, who knows what else, get stuck in, build their own ships. And one of them apparently didn't even sight land the whole journey. They actually managed to arrive spot on. And when you think there's no sat nav, nothing like that, well, they set an example to us, idle lot.
over the years, the Peel Heritage Trust has produced its own artefacts in a way. So,
artefacts.
perhaps you could tell us about your collection here, how well, that came about.
They're facts. I'm not sure whether they're arty or not, but still. I being the first secretary meant that I sort of did all sorts of bits and pieces, and I thought, well, I can print reasonably well, I'll do some posters, which I did. And of course, after the event, you just chuck the posters away. And then Bob Foster got a grip of me and said, now, come on, why don't you save these? I said, well, they're not worth saving, are they, old posters? He said, well, yes, because it tells you what we did. So I said, OK, and reluctantly I did as I was told. and it's just grown and grown, really. And the first one we've got was in 1992, so I missed 3 years of posters throwing away. And that was the Reverend Noel Jones, Lord Bishop of Sovereign Man, will share his thoughts about our two cathedrals, ecclesiastical heritage, bishop court, etc., etc., 30th of June 1992. That was the first one. And then a postcard from Peel by Tony Harmer, a Christmas party with Dot Tilbury, George Davison and Eric Kelly. let's have a one away. Oh, yes, the AGM, followed by Mr. Stephen Harrison, director of Manx National Heritage, who will describe the M&H's plans for the proposed heritage centre on the railway station site in Peel, etc. Peter Davey talking about Peel's original quayside. I have to say, it's quite fascinating reading these, actually. So this is the first one, and I've brought another one there, and that is this year's. But there are seven of these packed full of records, isn't it, really? Because it is a record. So I do rather like doing the posters, actually. And I'm just wondering, looking at these early ones, I think, is my handwriting getting worse? And I think, I'm not sure. I think the jury's out on that.
So our next meeting will be on the February the 20th, this month, in the Centenary Centre, 7:30. You are immensely welcome. We've got our AGM. Anyone who's a member is able to vote. It's sort of one person, one vote. And not only will there be a brisk, but very efficient and effective AGM, I hope, but we've got three, I think, of our committee doing short talks, just 20 minutes.
John Slater, chairman of the Peel Heritage Trust, and one of the founder members and first secretary of the Trust, Sam Knight.
That AGM will be in the Centenary Centre in Peel at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, the 20th of February. Uns na eisiau meinach uns chi'n a gôl, fa cloi'n foliach dôn, yn bunjaw sgil yn crawiach, ac dymenach Goyle Stiach Atchis Garu, Cully Gial, as Cowran L.A. Vacloid Chira Tradishunach on yes, Soyet Began Eskiel Nushoris as a dragon. Vagulla Cloy et Crunichten a Nullach. Unsurans Mannen, Tejikin de Renke Myrna Gillian Berner, de Moor Unsna Blinton Hockey Jeg. Lurgdel Yiganen Gulla Clow Uns Lioran and Yauche, Cricket et Cadgerin. Cawen act ren a cloi liasica, stiach, and bun jay nutagulans panto. Mesample trodden urden, atchis lunach, as creturin urd yindasach, dania comrat mamren, as mren comrat medania, as in vias, ker hart erin ulcus. Vamageddon tradition and comedia del arte on, leshe fartin maya enna, skeelin arenin dance as atchis. The modern pantomime includes songs, jokes and slapstick comedy and dancing. The principal boy is often a girl and the dame a man. It's usually more or less based on a well-known fairy tale, but adapted to bring in topical and local references. The audience are expected to be a part of it, to sing along and shout out to the performers. And that's what will be happening in Mround from next Wednesday evening, the 20th of February, as we shall hear.
Alison Lodge is the producer of the pantomime, and two of the parts are being played by Andrew Willoughby and Gillian Bowers. And all three of them told me more about it.
We've been going for about 25 years in Moran. It started off in the Methodist Hall, I think, in Crosby, and then progressed to Moran School when the new school opened. And since then, we've installed lighting, curtains and sound system, and we put on our show there every half term, February.
It's very much a mutual assistance then between yourself and the school.
It is, yes, yes. I mean, we put in all the equipment and the children then get the use of a sound system, lighting, curtains, to hopefully inspire them to go on and do something exciting and to give them confidence as well. And this year we're performing Rapunzel. The script is actually from NODA, so it's a professional script. But obviously with Moran and with any panto really, there is a twist and it's not as it seems. But yes, we're having fun trying to organise a tower. We were lucky for our programme and posters and things that we could use Ellerslie Farm for their tower. So that was our photo shoot this year.
It's always a Moran thing. We always put a slight twist and give it a Moran twist on the normal pantomime. So Rapunzel, it's the usual story of the girl being locked in the tower and being kept by her wicked grandmother and getting rescued by an prince. So it's a traditional tale which everyone will recognise. It's a good story and a good script as well.
And what about the parts now? Quite often in pantomimes, of course, we have a lot of cross-dressing.
Well, there's a fair bit of cross-dressing, but we've got a fantastic dame this year, but I won't give any more details about that because that's yet to be revealed. But I started off probably about 10 years ago being the I was a horse, one end of the horse.
Would it be pertinent to know which end of the horse you were?
I was the front end of the horse and my son was the back end of the horse. And I said at the time I didn't want to learn any lines, I didn't want to have to do any dancing or singing. I've never looked back since then, really. I've never been the horse since then. and I'm now singing, dancing, and I've got lots of lines to learn. Yeah. So this year I'm one half of a comedy duo, a hapless pair of dimwits called Curly and Bob. I'm Curly. that adds a bit of humour.
It's very much a community effort and a family effort.
Yeah, lots of families in it, yes. I mean, Alison's boys and husband, her husband's still in it. Alice, both her boys were in it. Andrew's
all
children
are in it.
In one way or another. My sons have all been in it in various forms over the years. It's really lovely to see the families coming through, actually. Quite a lot of Moran families represented in it. And it's really very much a community event.
At the moment, we have about 12 children that are involved, the school age. So they start in year five and then go on. But they carry on. So from year five, when they get into sixth form college, they still carry on with us. And then they go off to university and they come back during the holidays to have parts and help backstage. And then we've even got some that are actually working and they still come back to help or to be involved. This year, we have been very lucky that a young lady called Ellie Quayle has composed and written a song for us. So it's been written and it's been mixed and recorded, and they're going to perform it on the show for us this year. So
it's the first live performance of that piece of music, I believe. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, and it's amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Can't wait to see it come alive on the stage. Very talented lady. Very talented.
What's your role in it this year, Andrew?
Well, I'm part of a... I'm not telling any secrets, am I, really? But no, I'm a fairy godfather this year, which is a slight twist on the normal thing. So me and my and Alison's husband Andrew are reforming our double act, and we're both godfathers, and we look after the magic involved in all the panto. So yeah.
Will it be set in Moronia again this year?
No, we haven't mentioned Moronia, but we sometimes resurrect the Moronia national anthem, don't you? Which is a
do. Still time. There's a week. There's still time.
Lots can change in the course of a week in panto land.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've been supported this year by the Arts Council, which has taken a lot of pressure off us. Mm. Every year we try and obviously better what we do, and with them on board, the pressure's been off us to raise finance and, you know, struggle on. But no, it's good this year. It's quite nice.
We have the assistance of a great many sponsors as well, local organisations and groups sponsor, because it costs a lot of money to put on a panto. We have to rent the facilities that we use for rehearsal and for the performance, and lots of costumes are involved, and all the props, ancillary stuff. We like to then use the money that we make on the panto to put it back into the facilities at Moran School where we perform.
When exactly will it be on this year?
Wednesday the 20th of February. We open for four nights to the Saturday the 23rd.
We're doing an early showing on the Wednesday night at 6:30 for people who've got younger families, and on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday it's a 7:30 show.
Where will people be able to get tickets for this year's pantomime?
You can either get them from moranplayers.im online, you can get them from Moran School, or you can get them from me on 470 366.
My thanks to Alison Lodge, Andrew Willoughby and Gillian Bowers.
The story of Rapunzel told by the Moran Youth and Community Players at Moran School from next Wednesday the 20th of February at 6:30, then on Thursday to Saturday the 21st to the 23rd at 7:30. As Mishenta Shinna Ajit Dust Jera Shaklair Hiatcho. That's it from Shaklair again this time. So from me, Marilyn Crellin, Vaughan Marilyn Crellin.
And from me, Bob Carswell, as Vaughan Bean, Robert Akarslach.
Sledden you.